don't have. That's right. They have to switch over. They can't go right out of. They can't go out of. Without. I think so. Is that what you wanted, man?
Yeah.
Good afternoon. The Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee is now in session. We have to my left, Councilperson Yolanda Adrian. Next to her is Councilperson Peter Winslow. Next to her is Councilperson Paula Smith. Next on my right is Councilperson Ivory Young. And on his right is Councilperson Mary Norwood. So we have quorum. The next is approval of the minutes. Before we do that, we have staff. We'll starting with Ms. Dashika. The gentleman sitting next to her, give your name. And Mr. Scholar. And Santana's not here. What are you talking about? Santana's not on. Yeah, you have.
It's been a long day.
And out in the audience, we have supposed to be, the regulars.
Lots of cute.
Yeah.
The entire law department and our finance.
It's a lot of a lot of key people here. Chair will entertain a motion on the minutes. There's a motion to approve. Any discussion? Here none. All in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. We have two presentations today, but we are going to deal with our business real quick. And come right back to those presentations. The chair will entertain a motion on claims and approve. Okay. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, let it know by saying aye.
Aye.
Oppose, let the record show that the claims, both those submitted favorably and unfavorably by the law department. We are now going to look at first reads. We have two of those. Ms. Dashika, you want to read them, please?
Councilman Martin, do you want to just accept them in as first reads?
So moved. Hearing discussion, there is none. So we accept the first reads. That brings us to communications. Ms. Dashika, you want to read? Well, under the order,
section,
the second reading, the first is
section number H, communications, page 8, number 3, 16C, 5027, a communication by Councilmember Carla Smith, District 1, Kwanzaa Hall, District 2, Ivory Lee Young Jr., District 3, Cleta Winslow, District 4, and Michael Julian Bond, Post 1 at large, appointing Mr. Jerry Brown as a member of the Elder Crime Task Force.
Mr. Brown, would you come up to say hello to us?
Oh. Who's this guy?
First of all, thank you for your acknowledging me or assigning me to this post or this position. I consider it a great honor. Many of you I know, and I've worked with you on many projects in the past. Obviously, some of you know how diligent I am, and I will work on it and give it my best. But before you, you've already voted. I mean, you didn't vote on it. I just want to know if anyone had any questions of me.
We have Mr. Councilperson Ivory Young has a question.
I just this meeting wouldn't be long enough to talk about the contributions that you've made on numerous fronts, Jerry, to this city. And it goes beyond just the geography of your home, but the entire city is indeed grateful for the many levels of service that you've provided. And I just wanted to publicly echo what I know all of my colleagues feel, and so many of the public that have been the beneficiary of your service. Just wanted to say thank you.
All right. Cleta?
And just real quickly, I want to thank you for agreeing to serve. You called me and found out that Councilmember Archibong had this task force, and you volunteered. And I know that you have had a passion for making sure that elderly are treated with respect, and have done a lot of work in that area, not only in District 4, but throughout the city. So I echo the same sentiments that Councilmember Young has just stated. Thank you.
I want to thank both of you. Over the years, yes, I have been an advocate for the elderly, because I was hoping someday I would get there. And now that I'm here, I want to carry on, because it is very important for those of us that are now elders. We should be mentors, and we should be treated with respect, and I will make sure to do my best to see to it that we do gain the respect that we earned and that we properly deserve. Thank you so much.
Ms. All those in favor, let it know by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the record show that Mr. Jerry Brown is.
Thank you so much.
Appointed a member of the Elderly Crime Task Force. And my assumption, Mr. Brown, as soon as it's populated, that they will have the first meeting. So that's all that's left to happen. I don't believe. Ask Ms. Dashika. He has to go through the Committee on Council?
That's correct. This item will be referred to Committee on Council.
We will be referring this to Committee on Council, and that will be what meeting will not be until when?
April the 18th.
Right.
Monday, April 18th at 1 p.m.
Thank you for agreeing to serve, sir.
Thank you.
Now we're at ordinance for second reading.
Item number 4 on page 8, 160-1135, an ordinance by Councilmember Yolanda Adrian to amend Chapter 10, Article 2, Division 2, Subdivision 2, Section 10-87 of the City of Atlanta Code of Ordinances to prohibit the issuance of a license to sell alcoholic beverages within the City of Atlanta for any location permitted by the city as a shooting gallery and for other purposes.
There's a motion to approve by Ms. Norwood. Is there discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, let the record show that 1135 has been approved. That moves us to 1140.
Item number 5, 160-1140, an ordinance by Councilmember C.T. Martin authorizing the Chief Financial Officer to amend the FY 2016 General Fund Budget, Department of Corrections, by adding to anticipation and appropriations in the amount of $800,000.00 as funds are received for the purpose of funding certain operational costs and for other purposes.
Chief Labatt here. Do anyone have any questions of Chief Labatt? Okay, we have a motion to approve. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, let the record show that 1140 has been approved.
Item number 6, 16R3383, a resolution by Councilmember Joyce M. Shepherd authorizing the mayor to issue a task order to the Atlanta Service Group, a joint venture for FC7383B, Architectural Engineering and Design Services, on behalf of the City of Atlanta, to provide master planning and design services for the proposed interim public safety training facility for the Atlanta Police Department, the Atlanta Fire and Rescue Department, and the Department of Corrections, located at 786 Cleveland Avenue, in the amount not to exceed $704,977. All work will be charged to and paid from the accounts listed below and for other purposes.
There's a motion to approve. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, let the record show that 3383 has been approved.
Item number 7, 16R3436, a resolution by Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee authorizing the settlement of all claims against the defendant in the case of Pearl LeClaire versus City of Atlanta, civil action file number 15EV001045Y, pending in Fulton County State Court, in the amount of $75,000. The settlement amount to be charged to and paid from the funds listed below, authorizing the Chief Financial Officer to distribute the settlement amount and for other purposes.
Well, it is your pleasure. There's a motion to approve. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor, let it know by saying aye. Opposed, the record show that 3437 has been approved.
Item number 8, 16R3437, a resolution.
Sorry, that's 3436. What is before us now is 3437. Go ahead, Deshik.
Item number 8, 16R3437, a resolution by Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee authorizing the settlement of all claims against the City of Atlanta in the case of Will O. King versus Kalima Jackson and the City of Atlanta, civil action file number 115CV00583TWT in the United States District Court of the Northern District of Georgia, Atlanta Division, in the amount of $2 million, the settlement amount, authorizing the settlement amount to be charged to and paid from the funds listed below, authorizing the Chief Financial Officer, authorizing the payment of $1 million before June 17, 2016, and payment of $1 million on or before June 31, 2016, authorizing the Chief Financial Officer to distribute the settlement amount and for other purposes.
Yes. There's a motion to approve. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor, let it be known by saying aye. opposed. Record show that 3437 was approved, and the good news is the officer involved in this is already gone out of city services. That completes that part of the agenda, is that right?
That's correct, sir.
We are...
Mr. Chair, could we hear from Mr. Beard on the request before we start the presentations? Thank you, sir.
Do you have your copy of the letter?
Yes.
Read it.
Yes, this came to council members, and we are asking the chief financial officer to give us an update. From an anonymous resident, so we are not ascribing any validity. We are asking for the chief financial officer to give us an update. This letter says it has come to our attention that Rail Events LLC, DBA Compound Nightclub, is delinquent in filing and paying its buy-the-drink alcohol taxes as required by city code. The account numbers for the business are 104279A20 and 104279A21. So we wanted to get, it goes on, there's more, but I would just like to hear from the chief financial officer. Thank you.
Beer.
Reading as Ms. Norwood stated, this letter came anonymously to the department. So what's happened since we received it? As a little background, there's roughly 12,000 of these type of businesses in the city. We do audits on them on a random basis. Obviously, this letter triggers an immediate rise to the top of the pile, which I think would be prudent, and I've directed that. What I expect to happen is over the next 30 days, it'll be a combination of fire, APD, because APD handles some of the requirements around licenses, fire because they handle some of the requirements around occupancy rates, and the revenue department will work in conjunction to run all of these allegations to ground around liquor license, around various code violations that are alleged, et cetera, et cetera. That there's a normal process for this. Unfortunately, that process generally runs through the law department, but as requested, I wanted to come and speak to this body directly. Like I said, it's roughly 30 days. We have been contacted by the person mentioned in this, as well as their lawyer, so we're in communication. There's no more details to be had at this time. It is an open, I don't call it investigation, but an open inquiry. And that's really all I have for the body at this time.
Mr. Ashiko, what is the time period for the 30 days since we're going on break that we are expecting a report from you, Mr. Beard?
Well, these normally happen as a course of business. This would be a specially called out report. We would normally go through our normal process. If there was an assessment done, we would assess, they would pay, and move forward. Like I said, because of the nature of this one, and because it was brought to the attention of this body, I don't mind following up with you, but I just wanted to point out that that would not be a normal occurrence. But we will more than happy to do as the body requests and report out.
Well, what makes it part of it abnormal is...
Well, the abnormal part is the fact that...
Media carried a story last night.
Media carried the story makes it slightly abnormal, and the fact that it came as an anonymous... letter, and the fact that several council members were put on this letter kind of makes it stand out. That is not the normal course. The normal course is this random selection of parties. We go out and audit them, come back and have a back and forth discussion with them as whether the taxes are due or not due. In any event, we will report out to the body in 30 days, roughly the end of next month.
I understand that the story last night inferred that there may be other implications, so when you get it back, we need to make sure that's cleared up.
Just want to make sure that the issues around revenue are the ones under my purview. There are other allocations around, I believe there's fire safety issues, et cetera, that code enforcement issues that will be addressed by individual departments. Once again, as a courtesy to this body, when I do come back, I'll report out on all of those just to make it easier and put it all in one particular package for you.
Thank you. The Mr. Beard, is it not possible to know if they just this one issue, and again, I'm not ascribing any validity to it because we don't know anything about it, but buy the drink taxes, is that not something that we can just look up in 24 hours? I mean, I understand the other things are much more complex than that. Nope. on whether it's fire code, you know, issues or whatever, but just literally there should either be checks since 1979 in that account, shouldn't there, or not?
So it's my understanding from my people that there was an attempt to become current in 2016 or 15. This opens a different investigation in which we'll go back and look at each year, each period, to make sure that we agree with the numbers. So you're talking about more of an audit type function now than simple checks. Remember, drink by the glass taxes self-reported.
Normally. Correct, correct.
So because it's self-reported, it's normally, just like your IRS taxes, you self-report. Generally, it's taken on face value until there's an audit. Once an audit comes up, then there's a different kind of discussion. That's the different kind of discussion that will happen here, which will go in and ask for specific data, which I don't want to get into.
I understand.
Specific data, which helps us make a better determination of what if the remittances were accurate or not. So that's the whole process, and that's why it takes a little bit longer than me saying they paid or didn't pay. Now I'm at a point where I want to find out if they paid accurately or not.
Right, but there are some remittances over the period between 09 and 16?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. So now it's what may be in dispute is, was everything reported? And I
that's
understand.
That's a totally different process.
But that helps us because it is not that there has been no money collected from this fee or tax in those years,
right,
which is what was alleged in this correspondence, which I, when I gave the interview, said, we do not know, and I'm not ascribing any validity to this assertion.
So just so you understand, the nature of these businesses, sometimes they're closed for periods of time. The city wouldn't be due any taxes during a period of time where they were closed.
Correct.
So once again, these are all self-reported. Now that I go back and find out, were you indeed closed or not closed, what other sort of reports did you fill in around payroll? So if you paid your payroll taxes and had people on staff, I would assume you were open. If you were open and then didn't pay me tax by the drink tax, then that opens up other avenues which will go down. So this will end up getting a full vetting, and when I come back to you, I'll have a better notion around what's going on and what's underneath it all.
Thank you, sir. You're I appreciate
welcome.
It. Thank you for coming.
All right. At this point, we will take up the presentations, and we'll ask the law department to come first. City Attorney Kathy Hampton.
I believe we're just loading the presentation for y'all, and that you also have hard copies, and we're just loading the presentation to ensure that the attendees here in the audience can see as well. Here? All right. Chairman Martin and council members, I'm here to present the quarterly budget overview. I last reported to you on October 27th, and today I will report. Which way am I pointing? To you? No? There we go. October 27th, 2015, and today I'll talk about our calendar year 15 fourth quarter highlights, October through December 2015, as well as an outside council report. So I'll start with the good news around settlement payments. So if you look at calendar year 15 over 14, we're down 41%. So we paid settlements in calendar year 14 of $7.6 million, and in calendar year 2015, we paid settlements of $4.5 million. And that substantial decrease is really a result of not just the work of the law department, but the work in public works, police, where folks have been doing defensive training with driving. I believe it's around the drive cam and folks really paying attention. Work we've done around potholes with public works. So the decrease in settlement payments you see here is really a testament to the collective efforts of a number of departments here at the city, not just the law department. This past quarter, we had several that were of a substantial amount, and I wanted to make sure that I highlighted those. We did have a water meter injury settlement and a vehicular accident settlement, and because those two involve medicals, then that's why you see the numbers higher where folks were injured. And so if we were to remove those settlement payments, our 41% would be a 42% decrease from calendar year 14. So let's look at police. If you look at police, you'll see an 11% increase in the total number of settlements. But for the 10 police accidents, it's clear to make sure that you see that there's a difference in the year. So the settlements were paid over the past quarter, but seven occurred in 2014. We only had three in 2015, so that was a 57% decrease in the number of vehicular accident settlements. In terms of the payments for police, you'll see a 54% decrease from $105,000 to $48,000 compared to the fourth quarter of calendar year 14. And if you were to exclude the vehicular accident claim payment for the Kimbrough accident, one specific one, again, that involved medical injuries, we would have had a 68% decrease. And again, that goes back to the work that Chief Turner and his team have been doing around driving down claims by doing more work around defensive driving and training. Next, we have public works. The total number of settlements remained flat in public works, and I will take flat as a win here. We did have an increase in the settlement payments because, again, we had an accident that involved medical injuries, and when you have medical injuries, you'll have a higher number. But for one, which was a Honeycutt case here that you'll see, there would have been a 30% decrease, but because of the amount that was due in medicals in that Honeycutt case, that's why you see the number there. We do have a decrease in the pothole street defect settlements, and that goes to the work that's being done around sidewalks and roads. So we have a decrease from 4 to 3 in settlements for public works around potholes. Next, we have watershed, and you'll see a significant decrease here. There's an 83% decrease from 12 to 2 in the number of sewer settlements compared to fourth quarter of calendar year 14. And a corresponding 86% decrease from $58,000 to $8,000 in sewer settlement payments compared to fourth quarter calendar year 14. There was a 20% decrease from 5 to 4 in the total number of water meter settlements from fourth quarter calendar year 14, but an increase in payments because of the Mixon case that I mentioned. If we were to remove that specific case that involved medical injuries from a fall in a water meter, there would have been a 79% decrease in water meter settlement payments. And it's important that I note those because the medical injuries is where you'll see the higher numbers. So let's turn to litigation highlights, and these are all cases that you all heard at the time, but I wanted to make sure that I reiterated these for our quarter. The Borders case, you all know that we successfully defended the pension reform, and we heard from the Supreme Court of Georgia during the quarter at issue here on November 2nd of 2015. The Supreme Court affirmed the pension reform that this body unanimously passed. We also had a case around the Atlanta streetcar where we had a win where AT&T challenged the city's authority to require relocation of utilities, and that represented a savings to the city of $6 million. The next one is important because it's not just a civil suit where we represented an officer who was wrongfully accused here, But it's important for the body to know that we look out not just for the department but for individual officers. And here you had a case that was against a specific APD officer, and we've made sure that we let our officers know that when they are working hard in the scope of their duties, that they're also represented as individuals when there's a lawsuit against them specifically and not just the department. And so being able to get a motion for summary judgment here was important. And it really sends a strong signal to our officers. Here's one of our signage cases, and I know we had several council members who were involved in this one. We successfully defended our sign ordinance. We had electronic signs that had been installed inside a building, but they were intended to be viewed from the right-of-way. So we won that one in Superior Court. It was appealed by the plaintiff to the Georgia Supreme Court, who declined to hear it. So the win that we had in the Superior Court is affirmed. The next one is a tax case involving a dispute that we had with Clayton County, and they have now made the payments of $9.5 million in full satisfaction of outstanding taxes. And we now will make sure that going forward, they've agreed to make future payments. We had another tax issue with Fulton County where we were owed a tax refund of $2.8 million, and we've received that. That was regarding a parcel of land at our rental car center that had been inaccurately characterized on the Fulton County rolls. And now that that's been corrected, not only did we receive $2.8 million in back taxes that we were due, but it represents a savings of $500,000 each year moving forward. And finally, and I believe you all saw this one as well, the Fulton County Daily Report recognized our law department, recognized the city's law department as the in-house legal department of the year in the government category for litigation and complex transactions. And that's a real big win for the city and a testament to the great work that folks are doing in the law department. Now we'll turn to claims. As of July 1st, 2015, we had 1,070 pending claims and 150 older claims that predated 2013. As of December 31st, we have 846 pending claims and zero predating 2013. And that's a real testament to the hard work in the claims team that we now have a 100% decrease in claims that predate 2013, and we've closed all the old claims that we have, and we have a 21% decrease in pending claims. With our outside counsel spending report, the number of outsourced matters decreased 14%, and the spending is 39%. And the reason that number is so high is I want to make sure that I measure your expectations for when I come back, is that that's because our billing is not on the same cycle as some of the law firms that we use. So you will see a decrease, but it won't be as high as 39% by the time we receive all of the bills that are outstanding. I believe it'll be more in the lower double-digit range instead of a high of as 39%. So you will see a decrease, but once all the bills come in and our calendar is aligned with the billing, we'll show a decrease, just not that high. And finally, it's important for you all to see the value. The cases, the transactions from taxes to pensions, here you had folks at the law department at a rate of $51 up against private sector lawyers, and their average rates are $370. So to see the wins that the law department has been able to make for the value here to our taxpayers is really remarkable. And you'll also see that with the paralegals, who make such a difference for our work as well, a $21 rate compared to $157 in the private sector. It's been a great quarter, great work. People are working very hard, providing great value to the city. And as Dual reports, this is our quarterly report, and we are open for any questions that you might have for us. Thank you.
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate you on the award you got from the group. For all the information provided here, I believe Ms. Winslow had a question for you.
Well, I didn't have a question. I just continue to be impressed with the leadership that you and others in the law department have provided in working, you know, along with the other departments. I can remember there was a time when there was more money going out and nothing was coming in. So I think this is each time you've given us a report, there's a win, you know, there's a check in the win column each time. It may be more than one check, it may only be one, but I can remember there was a time when we didn't have anything in the win column. So I just, you know, want to commend you and all the other people in the law department and the other departments that are working with you and that are doing a much better job with their employees and helping them understand that this is great for the city of Atlanta and great for the taxpayers because we are saving them money. So thank you.
Any questions? Hearing none, we thank you for your report.
Thank you.
That brings us to Office of Solicitation. Solicitor, rather. Mr. Raines Carter, Attorney Raines Carter.
Good afternoon, Chairman Martin and members of the Public Safety and Legal Administration Committee. I'm Raines Carter, City Solicitor, and as always, it is a pleasure to be able to present before you. I am joined today by two of my deputy solicitors that you don't see much. You see Erica Smith a lot because she works in the area of code enforcement, but I'm joined by Rhonda Graham, who's a deputy solicitor over DUI enforcement. Would you stand, Rhonda? And I'm also joined by Andrew Taylor, who is the deputy over the General Criminal and Traffic Division. And with that, I'll get started. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Wanted to report something that I think is very important to our city. We have been able to reinstitute the case screening division for the city. Let me give you some history on this. Prior to 2008, when we had major cutbacks in the Atlanta Municipal Court, the solicitor's office was able to screen all cases. These were citations that came in, and these were also arrest cases. As a result of the provisions that you gave us for FY16, we have been able to reinstitute this unit. And I noticed that Chief Labatt has left, but he has also been instrumental because he has, in a very benevolent way, provided space for us. When we start phase two, we're going to screen jail cases also. But we have already reinstituted screening traffic citations and other ordinance citations that do not involve arrest. And this is extremely valuable to the city because it allows prosecutors to amend tickets in the officer's absence, where there are codes missing on the tickets. You might remember, Council Member Young, we had problems many years ago with the old DC-6. Well, the reinstitution of case screening is really going to help us when we have things to start creeping back in the system with enforcement that we need to be aware of. And I want to give appreciation to Assistant Chief Sean Jones, who has been working with us. He's been very receptive of our training initiatives. Under the leadership of Deputy Rhonda Graham, we've instituted a DUI training leaflet that we are doing on a periodic basis, and we are already receiving responses for it. So we expect to see improvements in terms of training law enforcement officer cases, in terms of perfecting citations. And then there's another part that case screening allows, which gets to my second point. We are undergoing an expansion of our PTI programs. It's actually an expanded PTIT business model. As you know, since 2009, since we've instituted the program, it's been very successful. However, during the first quarter of FY16, there had been a decline in eligible participants. Well, what does that provide for us? It provides for us an opportunity to retool our business model, and we have already begun to do so. We have already begun to include other types of cases, criminal and ordinance violations that we will have come into the system, and it has allowed us to start outreach. We're screening participants at an earlier point in the process when the tickets are first booked in, and we are able to flag the defendants that are potentially eligible, and we're now doing mailers. We're mailing out cards, informing people of their potential eligibility, and this is allowing some people to be able to come into the system before their court date and resolve their cases without a court appearance. We look forward to reporting on the measures in our next quarterly report, but we have gotten it started, and we're very proud to see the process move forward. I'd like to give you a summary of our code enforcement initiatives that have been a part of our quarterly report. We have, of course, demolitions that have taken place through administrative NREM. We have demolitions that have more recently started taking place through judicial NREM. But like what I'd like to report about today is those demolitions that are actually induced through the prosecution process itself. And what that means is when people are brought before the judge, instead of only considering options related to paying a fine or a person receiving jail time, we are pushing harder now for compliance in such a way that the compliance and the cost can be borne by the responsible party. And so what you'll see now are figures that basically said that with 17 cases, we were able to have the responsible parties bear the cost of compliance. This resulted in a total cost avoidance to the city of $860,000. What that means is that the defendants bore the cost of the demolition rather than going through administrative NREM process or judicial NREM process. And I felt like for this quarterly report, that's a story that needs to be told, because generally people don't hear about that part of what takes place in our enforcement process. In addition to that, there are prosecution-induced compliances that take place too. And this is a collaborative effort with many city departments, code enforcement, Bureau of Buildings, Watershed, and others. And we try to bring properties in compliance through this process, through court order of boarding, reducing overgrowth, removal of trash and debris. And for this particular quarter, and you see the figures there, there has been a cost avoidance to the city. If the city had to do it, it would have been approximately $1.5 million. If the city had to send crews out and cut the grass or send crews out and clean up the property. So what we're doing is we're making a stronger effort to have the offenders bear the cost for the compliance. Okay. Wanted to give an update on the prosecution of water theft cases. Now, this is something that, of course, started with FY15. And as you may know, we have a position, a prosecutor position, that's actually funded by Watershed. Just to give you an update, since the beginning of FY16 last July, our collaborations with Watershed Management has resulted in approximately $1 million in collections. And some of the collections amounts are huge, $20,000. $30,000 based on the properties and based on the arrearages that have taken place. And as you can see there, these are the figures that have continued to increase, of course, FY14, FY15, and of course that is just a partial figure for FY16 because we're still in FY16. Then the last thing that I'd like to report on is something new that we want to propose to our city. As you know, there are times when people are coming forth to the council talking about the American with Disabilities Act, talking about the prosecution of certain people that may be disabled or elderly. Well, we have authority under Title 15 of the Georgia Code to expand this into a pretrial program. This proposal that is being put together is basically a proposal that we want to look at certain defendants that are brought in for code violations that may be eligible for some alternative other than paying a fine when we know they really cannot afford it. We want to work with agencies to see what can be done to help people bring these properties into compliance. And so what you have before you basically are our criteria. First of all, the person must be there as their primary residence. In other words, if this person is elderly, disabled, and living in the property itself, we're trying to work not only with the enforcement agencies, but through any other agencies that can provide services to get this property complied, but at the same time do the things that we can to educate people about making sure that their properties are kept up to code. This has not launched yet. It is a proposal. We will be discussing more aspects of this proposal in the before the Code Enforcement Commission, but we wanted to be able to address some of the concerns that are brought to us on a daily basis by many citizens who say, I can't afford to do anything. I'm disabled. I'm elderly. And we are excited about putting this program together, and we'll have more details to roll out to you and would solicit your support. And with that, that's the conclusion of my presentation, and I am available for questions.
Questions?
Mr. Chair, if we have some agencies that we can refer to you for the future, this future program, is there an email that we can send the information to?
Please send it to me.
Okay.
Just RF Carter
at
AtlantaGA.gov, okay. And I'll make sure it gets to the proper place.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you. Good report.
Mr. Carter, thank you for the report, and thank you for the efforts of you and your team on many different fronts. I hope that as we approach our budget season and we start talking about revenue, that your clerk and everybody on your side of the table are accurately accounting for all of these dollars. I know some of them kind of have a proprietary nature in that if you fine for certain things, they have to specifically have to go for certain things. But I just far too often we get to the budget conversation and there's obviously needs in the municipal court, needs in your department. It's an easier conversation when we're looking at the real dollars that the municipal court is producing. We're enforcing the law not to exact fines, not to make money, but if revenue is a consequence of your hard work, it should make for an easier conversation when it comes to responding to the specific needs that you all have that really need to be addressed. As we, every year, we're doing more and more to try to fortify and rebuild from that 2008 condition that you all were in. I think we're getting closer to being where we need to be, but I'm clear that there's always room for improvement. But congratulations on your efforts, and thank you for the report.
Thank you, Councilman Young. Thank you.
Next, we will deal with the sheet for public speaking, we have one person, Reverend Stallman.
Cool. No.
That's just right.
All right.
Is Reverend Stallman out there, here, or whatever? All right.
Who was here to speak?
Waiver for background, record fee. If there's nothing else before us, this committee is adjourned. Hi. Problems in the past.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.